Now, I think animals are terrific. They can do, dogs can do anything. I mean, they have them in hospitals, they have them all sorts of places, in the elderly homes, some of them have got them. Dogs in particular can be trained. I saw one the other night where they've got donkeys, where people have got anxiety, and just walking these animals are terrific for the people. So what I'm getting into, it's my pleasure to introduce Nick. He's done a film that's going to be on this Friday night at the Art Centre down there in Warburton. It's called The Healing. So first of all, welcome, Nick.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Sorry it was at late notice, but we got you there anyway. Nick, where did you shoot this film, and what gave you the idea to do a film about this? Because I think it's a terrific idea.
The film was mostly shot in Kangaroo Valley in New South Wales, mostly on a really amazing sort of 1,000-acre property up there. And if anyone, you know, listening knows the countryside, it's really stunning. So it looks really fantastic on screen. And I heard about the course that the guy, the hero of the film, Scott Brody, I heard about this course through a friend of mine who'd written an article about the work Scott was doing, bringing traumatized ex-race horses together with traumatized military veterans.
Yeah, go back a tick. How do you know that the race horses are traumatized? Have they been involved in an accident or something?
Look, not necessarily. In some cases, accidents, yeah, but a lot of the stresses that horses go through,
yep,
as just a normal part of being in the racing industry, can have really significant, you know, physical, emotional, psychological effects on horses once their careers are over. I grew up in the country, a little place called Clonbenade, and we used to have an ex-racehorse adjusted on our property there.
Yep.
And we were told as young kids, you know, to be very careful of it. It was very flighty. It didn't trust people. I remember the guy who adjusted it on our property said, look, this horse has had a really rough time in the racing industry. Yep. So you need to be, you know, kind of careful of it. Scott, for the last 20-plus years, has worked with these horses, to help rehabilitate their, physical injuries and the strains and the stresses that they've gotten from racing. But also a lot of the horses, there's one of the horses in particular in the film, they have emotional and psychological issues.
So obviously, and we'll talk about this in a bit more depth as we go along. So obviously these vets go along. How long are they there? Not vets as in animal doctors. I'm talking about veterans now. So yep. How long do they go along, and how often do they go, and what do they do?
So the veterans, the film covers a 5-day course that the veterans undertake. And to give you a little bit of context, the veterans had come from a program called Homes for Heroes. And that was a program set up to find emergency accommodation for veterans that had been experiencing homelessness.
Yep.
So these were veterans that had left the military in many ways, were not getting the help they needed. They were living rough in a lot of situations. They'd ended up at Homes for Heroes. They tried counselling, therapy, medication, and they weren't getting the breakthroughs with their mental health that they needed. And so, in many ways, in kind of last chance saloon kind of situation, they were introduced to Scott, who had just started military veterans to learn how to retrain these ex-thoroughbred racehorses.
Because they say, I don't know whether it's true or not, but they say that, and not having a go at governments or anything, but they say they train them up to peak performance before they send them into the military zone, but when they come back, they're sort of almost like a has-been. Is that right?
Well, you'll see in the film that you know, a number of the veterans, and this is certainly borne out, you know, if you look at statistics of, you know, veteran suicide in the last 20 years,
yep,
just one statistic, it's really, really shocking, the sense of veterans being discarded and not getting the help they need when they're no longer of use to the military. And a number of the veterans in the film certainly felt like that. And I've met a heap more veterans having finished the film that feel like that. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide was held. Is to look at ways to better support veterans, you know, with their mental health issues in particular.
So, Nick, is this a government-sponsored, or is Scott doing all this by himself?
No, he's doing it all off his own bat. He's one of the reasons that I got involved was that, you know, I got in touch with him after my mate told me about his program. And I said, look, it sounds amazing what you're doing. And he said, look, if you're a filmmaker, what we'd really love is a little bit of footage that we could show people because we're trying to get funding for our program.
Yep.
And he said, when he describes it to potential funders, they all say, gee, it sounds great. Have you got anything to show us?
Yeah.
And at that stage, he didn't. So he said, if you could film a bit of the work, then we could use that to hopefully show some funders. So that was my initial impulse, is to go there, film this five-day program that he was running with the veterans and the horses, and then from that cut something that he could show people.
Yep.
What I guess my crew and I found after, you know, after filming for 5 days, the changes in the veterans were so enormous. I said to Scott, so these guys have obviously gotten a lot of, and when I say guys, there's men and women on the course.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Yep.
I said to Scott, you know, there's been some incredible breakthroughs here from what I'm seeing in 5 days. What happens now to the veterans? And he said, well, I encourage them, if they want to keep volunteering with my program, I'll keep teaching horsemanship skills, further their training in retraining thoroughbreds.
Yep.
So I then became really interested, so I thought, hey, that's a great idea. I was really happy that the veterans could continue with him. And then I became really interested in, well, of the veterans I've been focusing on, which ones of those will continue, you know?
Yep.
And what I found is that, you know, many of them continued working with him very consistently for years.
Oh.
And that is really why the film initially was a 5-day shoot and it ended up being a 4-year shoot.
Well, I was going to ask you how long it took. 4 years it took you to shoot it.
Yeah, well, I followed the journey of the veterans and the horses over a 4-year period because that's how long some of the veterans kept working with Scott.
Sure.
And you really see over that period of time really like some profound changes occur and very positive ones.
Fantastic. All right, so it, obviously it's a live-in, like they go up and they live on the property, do they,
yep,
for the 5 days?
They do. They do, yep. They live on the property and they're now working between a number of properties. There's another wonderful property they have up there called Heartland.
Right.
And that was run by a guy called, a couple called Daniel and Debbie Dixon, and they have a really beautiful property up there. So Scott also holds courses there. And, you know, one of the benefits of going into these environments and actually living there while you're working with the horses is that you're in nature. And I think, you know, getting out of an urban environment, particularly, you know, a lot of these veterans are living in, you know, very cramped conditions. Yep. They're surrounded by traffic and people and you know, buildings and stuff like that. Yep. To all of a sudden be in nature and be surrounded by wildlife and not have a bunch of people and sort of urban noises and stuff around, I think that in itself is actually really healing.
And does he find that, you know, some of these veterans turn up and they've got, well, I don't want to downplay it, but they've got the world on their shoulders sort of, and then when they start sitting around at night and not necessarily working with the horses, all of a sudden they start talking to each other and they find that maybe things aren't as bad or that the other person is just as bad as they are?
Yeah, look, I think probably a combination of both.
Yep.
The thing is that what I found really interesting about the work Scott does is Scott is not a therapist. So this is not traditional equine therapy. He doesn't talk to them about their mental health issues at all. I mean, yep, if they bring up something with him, he'll you know, chat to them about it, but he's really there to further their horsemanship skills. And you know, like one of the veterans I remember, a guy called Max who you see in the film, I think he says in the film, he said he was so glad that they weren't there to tell war stories.
Yep.
He said they were very much there to focus on helping these horses.
Yep.
Because you know, don't forget a lot of them have gone through therapy and medication and traditional types of like yep. talking therapy and cognitive behavior therapy and stuff like that. And so they've talked out their problems many times to many people. And in many situations, that hasn't been the big breakthrough that they were hoping for. So to be on this property with Scott focusing on horses is something very different. And I think that's a relief to a lot of them, actually.
Nick, I've got to take a quick break. And, but don't go away because we want to tease this out a bit further, please.
Fantastic.
Speak to the sky whenever things go wrong. And you know you're not talking to the air. To the air. And the world will look better from up there.
Nick, I've got to say you surprised me because I thought you'll get, as I say, I saw this one on Facebook or something where they're walking these donkeys. But it's not just a case of walking these horses, is it? Like, is he actually teaching them to ride them and all that stuff as well, is he?
Yeah. No, it's not just walking them at all. It's like real horsemanship skills. Like, you have to get... You got to get into the round yard with these big, powerful animals. This is not like a really gentle old horse that you just wander around a paddock.
I thought that was what the interview was going to be about. To be honest, I'm really surprised.
Yeah. People get a surprise when they see the film because you know it's no small feat to get in a round yard with a ex-thoroughbred racehorse and teach. You know, you teach these veterans brand new skills where they can really start to use their body language to communicate with the horse to get the horse to do things. You know, it's very different.
I was just going to ask you that. So, how do they? Well, it's obviously through their body language that Scott teaches them that you know if you want the horse to react to you, you do certain things. Right?
That's right. Yeah.
If an animal's been damaged, then they're going to be very frightened or suspect. So
yep.
I guess that's part of the deal, isn't it? You've got to
break
that
down. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, trust is a real... And look, the funny thing is, you know, a lot of the veterans are experiencing... I guess one of the things that shocked me... Are we on air? I can't remember.
Yes, yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Look, one of the things, I guess, that shocked me when I was doing the interviews with the veterans for the movie, because I didn't know their backstories before I arrived at the course... a lot of the trauma that the veterans suffered was from the way they were treated in the military. So, it certainly wasn't all war stories. It wasn't combat related trauma for the most part. So the veterans themselves were really, they had a lot of trust issues also, you know. They had a real empathy for these horses that had also been through a hell of a lot of trauma in the racing industry. And I think that, you know, the way that Scott's teaches them to work with the horses, it's a very empathetic, kind of gentle communication that he gets them doing with the horses. It's really not based on... it's certainly not based on anything overtly violent or.
Well, I was going to say, if you start to try and hit one, because if they're an ex-racehorse, they've been belted many a time coming down the straight, haven't they? They're not going to react well to that at all, are they?
No, and that's probably the last thing Scott would ever do or ever, you know, suggest anyone do with a horse.
Yep.
You know, so it was kind of like, look, it's very eye-opening for me to watch the way that Scott worked with the horses, the enormous, like, command that he was able to have with them, but in a very subtle, gentle way. It was more like, it was really like watching him work with a dog or a cat or something, you know. And then the veterans were kind of, once they started to learn some of the really basic techniques, you could see that they were kind of amazed that they were able to do some of the things that Scott could do quite a short period of time, yeah.
Nick, look, I'm starting to run out of time. I've got to get out of the studio at about 5:02. But where are tickets available for this Friday night?
So they should be able to book through the website at the cinema in town.
That's in Warburton?
At the Warburton Arts Centre, yeah.
Yep. All right. So people book there. Now, it's this Friday night, so you need to get moving, and it's at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. There'll be a Q&A with myself afterwards, and there'll also be some, I believe there'll be some equine therapists from the area also joining me afterwards, yeah. So it should be great. Should be a really great night.
How long does the film run?
Runs for an hour, and there'll be a half an hour Q&A afterwards. So it'll be a 90-minute session.
Oh, that'd be terrific. Look, I think it's a great idea. I'm amazed about what animals can do for people and what people can do for animals. You know, I know that in a lot of their old age care and that, they're putting animals in there because they're very calming. I know a couple of the hospitals, they're letting them in with the children.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, yeah, they're fantastic. Absolutely. I guess one of the really powerful things about them is that the communication is nonverbal.
Yeah.
And you know, there's very real sensitivity going both ways.
Nick, just before I go, and I just have to go, I'm going to be tapped on the shoulder in a minute.
Sure.
Is this the only showing that you're doing, or be
you can also see the film online. You can rent it or you can buy it. I mean, there's community screenings happening all over Australia. There's a company called Good Film. Good Film, GOODFILM. You can rent it or you can buy it online through those guys.
Look, Nick, it's been fascinating talking to you. I'm sorry we just have a bit more time. I'm really glad we were able to slot you in today, because this sounds like a terrific program. And I mean, a lot of the vets have done themselves in because of the way they've been treated. I thought it was mainly because of the way they were treated overseas, but you're saying it's not only that, it's the way the military treated them too.
Yeah, very much. And that was also the finding of the Royal Commission into Defence and Veteran Suicide. Yeah.
Nick, no, I've got to go.
No worries.
Sorry about that. Friday night, 7 o'clock, down at the Arts Centre in Warburton. Grab your tickets. Yep. Sounds like a fabulous night, and you can even talk to Nick as well. Can't do better than that.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Nick. Bye.